Here on Penguin Radio. So, you know, I hope everyone is having a good week. I'm having a good week. I have some great news to cover today. You know, it's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. The week's almost over. So, you know, as I said, stay strong. I have some good stories that are coming up. So, stay tuned.
Tonight, I'm sorry. Rolling. How many more shots until you're rolling? We just need a face to face. You could pick the time and the place. You'll spend some time away. Now you need to forward and give me all the work.
It's set me up and work. You see me do my da. So me better work. When you walk out, la. When the cash from my turn.
This is DJ King, and you're listening to The Hollywood Slang. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. The song you just heard is Work by Rihanna featuring Drake. It's a pretty hot song that's out right now. So if you haven't got it on iTunes or however you get your music, I recommend that you get it. It's a really good song. It's pretty popular. I'm actually going to be covering a story with Rihanna and Drake having to do with their performance. But, you know, I'll save that news for another time. Well, sometime in the show, just, you know, another time later. Okay, anyways, so I want to start off by saying I hope everyone's having a good week. As I said before, I'm having a good week. It's Wednesday, middle of the week. Week's almost over. Friday's closer than we think, so stay strong. So, you know what? Let's get the show started. So, my first story I'm going to cover has to do with a naked celebrity on a magazine cover. Can anyone think what celebrity might be? Well, if you didn't know, it is Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber posed naked on a Clash magazine cover. I was talking to my roommate about this. I know she's listening. Actually, no, it was not this story. It was actually a story that I'm also going to be covering. You know, I wanted to get some opinion on it. I'm going to have her come into the studio one of these days with me and do a show with me. She says, not yet, but I think she's ready for it. I think she can do it. So anyways, getting to the story with Justin Bieber posing naked on a Clash magazine cover. When I first read this and I came upon this article and it said naked, I was like, oh God, what am I about to see? He's not naked. He is mid-waist, you know where that V-line is. You guys know what a V-line is. You know, like on guys like us, we have a V-line. I'm not saying I have a V-line. I'm just saying, all right, anyways, that V-line cover right there, and it cuts off at the side, like a side profile view. He's like posing with his hat and everything. He's not fully naked. I think they just put the naked thing so people will be like, what, naked Justin Bieber? I want to see this, because I guess, I don't know, I feel like that's what people would do. So yeah, he posed for the 100th issue of Clash magazine. It shows off, you know, all of his new hair, his tattoos, his mini tattoos, which, can I say, I really like all of his tattoos. But, you know, one tattoo that appears to be on there is a Selena Gomez sporting, you know, a low-cut top and a angel wings, and it's a tattoo. At first, I was hoping it wasn't real. You know, I was like, he wouldn't do that to himself. I don't think he would do that. Well, he did. It is real. And all I have to say about it is that I don't think he should have done that. But, hey, that's him. He said that we all make mistakes and he can't escape that one, you know. But, you know, he's trying to do like some shading to shade around her face, you know, so you can't tell it's her. But until that happens, I'm not going to really believe him. But, you know, he's doing a lot better than he used to be. I know my first show I covered a lot about Justin because it was in a time in his life when he was really down. I thought he was a bad person, even though I like him. I thought he was, you know, he was taking a turn for the worst, but I think that's what he needed in order to be who he is now. His new album, if you guys haven't heard it did come out a little while ago, but you know, all of his songs on there are amazing. They're really good. They're down to earth. They're deep. They're about him and his life and the experiences he go through. He talks about, I know one of his songs, he talks about how he's human and he's not perfect and he's gonna make mistakes, and to think about him and his feelings sometimes, you know. And you know, I think he's a good artist. I really like him. I like his style. He's a cool guy. So this is actually one of his songs playing right now. So that's the first story I wanted to cover. The next story I have to cover has to do with, you know, the upcoming 2016 Oscars that are going on, that are about to approach this weekend. But there's a huge controversy over the issue of, you know, the all-white nominees still being, you know, a major point of discussion. And there are several actors and actresses. I can't even say that. Oh my goodness. Actresses that are speaking out about what it's like being a non-white, non-male face in the, you know, the industry that they're in. The story I have is on Eva Longoria, Mindy Kaling, Priyanka Chopra, and America Ferrera. These are just a few names that I'm going to be talking about today. If you want to know more about the story and, you know, look more in the depth about it, I will talk about it at the end of the article when I'm done, about the website you can go to and everything. But yes, they're having backlash or criticism. They said they've all had backlash and criticism due to their skin color, and they're opening up about it and how they overcome the obstacles that they have. So Eva Longoria talks about how, like, she didn't really speak up Spanish. She doesn't speak Spanish at all. Or no, she doesn't speak a lot of Spanish. She says, I'm the ninth generation. I'm American as an apple pie, but I remember moving to LA and auditioning and not being Latin enough for certain roles. And then she continued to talk about, like, how white male casting director was dictating what it meant to, like, be Latin. And he said that she needed an accent and that she needed to have darker skin. And, you know, and it was just a lot of, like, rude, I would say rude stuff, and I guess that's some of the stuff they face in the industry that they're in. America Ferrera had also, she said, similar experiences as Eva Longoria, and she was talking about how it went as far as they wanted her to dye her hair blonde to try and land a role. Like, she had to dye her hair blonde to try and get a role that, you know, only a, I guess the role was for, like, a blonde haired girl, and she really wanted it. So that, she said, I've dyed my hair blonde for the role. She said, I was 18. I was putting myself on a tape for a movie I really wanted. I got a phone call. They cast a Latino male in another role in the film, but they weren't looking to cast Latin, a Latina. So she said, I definitely bleached my hair blonde, painted my face white, and made the audition tape. So she said, nonetheless, she felt powerless. And she, after she thought about it, she goes, your skin color should not be what they're looking for. They should be looking at, like, how you act and how you are as a person. They shouldn't be, like, looking at your skin color or your hair color or how you talk or where you're from. And I honestly totally agree with her. So also it talks about how Mindy, if you know, guys know who Mindy Kaling is, she has her own show called The Mindy Project. She's super funny. She's also a stand-up comedian. If you haven't looked into her work, I would. She's super, super funny. Mindy said that she, my role is not just an artist, it's also an activist, because one way I look at it on some shows that show movies race with a gesture, and in The Mindy Project, it's a premise. So if you haven't seen her show, as I said before, The Mindy Project is a really, really, really good show. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I think it's on Hulu. So if you don't have a Hulu account, subscribe. I know it's probably like a free week or something, or a month. So do it. You should. I want to get one more response from Priyanka Chopra. She said she also has experienced similar positivities throughout, negative and positive things throughout her career. She recalls one moment in which a fan thanked her for giving diverse women a voice. And I think I'm just going to end off this story by saying that I don't think stars know how much of an impact they actually have on some people until something really big happens and they have to stand up and be the face for something like that, or the voice, as this fan said. I think it's really good. If you want to know more about this issue, you can go to the New York Times article. There's an article up there. There's videos. There's everything up on there. So if you want to get more into this, you can sure go to the New York Times and it will be there. My third story I have, I'm going to cover today, has to do with a show. It's actually one of my favorite shows. I watched it. I literally binge watched it for about maybe 2 weeks, because it was like five seasons. It's so worth it. I literally sat on my couch and ate enormous amounts of food and just watched this show, because I was like, I definitely just, this is just what I want to do. So the game that's actually the name of the show. The show I'm talking about is Game of Thrones. The season 6 posters are up. There's going to be a season 6 of this show. I am so happy. You guys do not understand. I really enjoy this show. I was not into it before. My friends, my family that watches it, they were telling me, oh, you should really get into the show. It's a really good show. I think you should get into the show. And I was like, no way, no way, no way, no way. I'm not going to watch this show. I was like, this show is just definitely not for me. I don't like this I didn't like the fantasy type of thing. I used to be into that. I'm not so into it now. I started to get more like away from it, but I'm trying to get back into it now. And I watched the show. I gave it a chance. All right. I watched it. I was like, all right, let me see it. I watched it. It was actually, honestly, a great show. The actors, the storylines, the intertwined love triangles that go on, everything. I don't want to give too much away, but like everything that goes on, everything you find out about the show, it is like, it's great. It's honestly, it's awesome. I enjoy this show. So the season six posters are out for the Game of Thrones. If you want to see more, there's some on HBO, the HBO website. But the only thing I have to say is, like, I don't think anyone dies anymore in that show. Like, I don't think dying matters is what I'm trying to say in the show, is because on the poster, there's a picture of what it looks like to be a character that already died. But I don't think he's dead. So I think he's going to be returning to the new season. And the character I'm talking about is Jon Snow. I'm sorry. I said it. I don't know if you've seen the show, Jon Snow, I don't know if he comes back from being dead. Yes, he died. I'm sorry. But that's how it goes. So anyways, the posters are up. They look sick. There's different posters. There's different characters on each of the posters. And I think that's what makes it awesome. It doesn't have like the whole cast on one poster. It's different characters from the show on each poster. I don't know. To me, that's super cool. I like it. So it's going to be returning April 24th. You guys, you need to be ready for this. I am going to be ready for this. I'm going to have my TiVo. I'm going to record it. I'm going to be on that. Like, I was trying to think of an analogy and I couldn't, but it's okay. I'll think of one later. So yeah, if you want to know more about the posters, if you want to see the posters, you can go to HBO and they'll be there. Everyone likes Facebook, right? I like Facebook. My grandma also likes Facebook. Hi, Grandma. I don't know if you're listening. She loves Facebook. Everything I post, my pictures, my statuses, my grandma is always there. She likes it. And then she's like, oh, let me comment on your thing. And then she comments. I'm like, oh, thanks, Grandma. You're the real MVP. So Facebook is adding a new reaction button to their webpage. And by reaction button, I mean Facebook is trying to test out this new thing for feelings for people who have them. And basically what is going to be happening is you can not just like people's things, you can give them an emotion. That is so awesome. I'm talking about this story because I know a lot of people use Facebook. I personally only use Facebook for friends and just family, not even just friends. But if I have you on Facebook, we are friends. Don't get that twisted. But yeah, I use it mostly just for family. But honestly, I don't like all the likes and the pokes and everything, because it'll just say you have seven pokes from this person. And if you want to get a hold of me, I have a phone. Like, you can just text me, call me, do whatever. But no, they just want to poke and like and I don't know, all that other share. I can't lie. I share a lot of things, but I don't know. I like things that are funny. But I mean, I have people just liking stuff that's not really, I don't know, likable, I guess. I don't know. I'm just posting it because I want to. But I guess they like it. So anyways, what I'm trying to say is they're having 5 new emoji reactions to a post. So you can either like a post and then you can love it, or you can ha-ha it, or wow, or sad, or you can be angry about it. So instead of just liking and commenting, you have a little more like wiggle room, I guess you can say, to tell people like what you really think about their status or their photos or their links on their social media sites. It will be interesting to see the new emojis described how Facebook users, you know, are at a large feel about like a big update like this. Honestly, it doesn't sound like a big update, but it's honestly a super big update from what Facebook has come from since Facebook first came out, if anyone can remember. I can faintly remember. But it's going to, you know, I think the funny thing is going to be like, well, I think some people are going to get like their feelings hurt, you know, like the really sensitive people that are out there, because like someone can say, I hate this, and like give you like an angry emoji, and you're just going to be like, oh, self-esteem just went down a little bit. Yeah, I don't know if it's a nice thing, if it's a good thing, but you know, it launched today and it'll roll out to all the platforms in like a few days. So we'll see. We'll see if there's any stories about this or if there's any more things. So, you know, if you want to stay tuned to the story, it's something I will continue to talk about if it becomes a big issue. I think it's going to be, because, you know, I think some people are going to get the little bitty feelings hurt, but I mean, it's okay. So, I'm definitely going to go on a quick break. But you know, stay tuned. My next thing is a very, it's a, you know, about advice to like an 18 year-old self. Kerry Washington, the star of Scandal, is giving her advice back to her if she were her 18-year-old self again. And even though Kerry Washington is a female, I still think that this applies to both males and females of what she has to talk about. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. Only here on Penguin Radio. Back, this is DJ King and you're turning into the Hollywood Slang only here on Penguin Radio. So before I left, I was going to talk about a very inspirational story that I found having to do with Kerry Washington. If you don't know who Kerry Washington is, she is one of the biggest stars on Scandal right now. It's basically her show. I feel like I haven't watched the show, but I have been told it's a great show. I should watch it. So, you know, like the Game of Thrones story, I'm hoping that it will be a good show too. I haven't actually started watching it. I will though. So let's get this story started. So Kerry is basically just giving advice to her old 18-year-old self about what she would do better. And what I'm going to read to you is what she's saying. It's what she said. And just think about it, you know. Think about what you would tell your 18-year-old self again. I mean, I'm still young. And I would still tell my 18-year-old self what to do differently just from the couple years that I am different from 18. So... what she says basically is, "Dear Kerry, I'm talking to you around 18, so this is the time when you're transitioning from high school to college. Lots on your mind, lots to be stressed about, so here are some thoughts from your future. Make sure that your dreams are yours. Make sure that you are not pursuing the dreams that somebody thinks you should have, because dreams take a lot of work and a lot of support, and you'll be more inspired to go after them if they're yours and really, really yours." She graduated from George Washington University in 1998. And then not just 2 years, I think, before that, she actually debuted in her first film called Our Song. She said, "Make a plan, but know that sometimes when you make a plan, God laughs because God has another plan. And that plan is probably better than yours, better than your plan. So you just have to hang in there and be patient for it." She continues to say, I really want to read all of it because I think it's really inspirational. So she then says, be around people that make you feel good, not just yes people who tell you what you want to hear, but people who really love you for who you are and make you feel loved, and people who you want to love and make them feel good. She says, before sharing wisdom from someone she loves, I have a yoga teacher who said to me, always stay on your yoga mat. But because sometimes if you're in a headset and you're too busy looking at the person on the other mat, you could literally break your neck. I feel like that's a really good metaphor for life. To stay on your own path, she continues, do what's right for you. You can't compare your insides with somebody else's outsides because you never know what's going on with somebody else, really. Then she ends up talking about the transitioning from high school to college. It can be very emotional. It can be very hard. And I know for me, moving away from home, high school to college, that transition is one of the most, I feel like is one of the biggest transitions that I've had yet in my life yet. And, you know, it's big. You're moving away from your family for the first time. For me, I'm the only child. So it was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. I had to leave home. I had to leave my family. I had to leave my friends. I had to leave everybody behind, start in a new place where I knew practically nobody. In a place I didn't know where the grocery store was, the gas station, until I was here. But other than that, any cool places to hang out, anything like that, you know, it was, thinking about it now, it was a pretty hard transition, and I'm actually proud of myself, now that I'm finally used to it. But, it was pretty hard. And I really just want to talk about this. I think it's a really touching thing. She ends with saying that, take a deep breath. know that nothing's forever. If people are pushing you to excel, it's probably because they really care about you. But just do your best. That's all that matters. She says that will lead you to where you're supposed to go if you really are doing your best. And Carrie, you couldn't have said it any better. This was such a motivating piece for me. That's why I just really wanted to cover it again. But you know, switching gears, I want to talk about something a little bit more upbeat. Caitlyn Jenner. I talked about Caitlyn Jenner a lot, you know, through her Bruce and the Caitlyn thing transitioning a couple years. But when I had my show, my first show, Hollywood Slang. But I talked about Caitlyn a lot and how she, you know, she's moving the LGBT and all that. But also, she really knows the word for family, and she knows family is forever. Since her transition, the I Am Kate star, you know, she's been a really big icon in the face of media all around. She's won a lot of awards since her last shown as Bruce, but Caitlyn is bringing some stuff to the table, man, in the entertainment world especially. She's doing a lot of things. Her show is airing on E, I Am Kate. But what I want to talk about is her debut album, photo that she posted on Instagram with her kids, Courtney, I think it was Courtney, Kendall, Kylie, and Chloe. Maybe not Chloe, but maybe Courtney, Kendall, and Kylie. It was Caitlyn and them, and they were just, you know, they were at the Yeezy season 3, I believe, fashion show. And, you know, they all looked great. Caitlyn looks great. I'm sorry. She looks great. She does. But, you know, they were just there celebrating Yeezy's, Kanye West's Yeezy season 3 fashion show. It looked so good. If you guys haven't seen it, you should see it. The clothes, the shoes, everything was on point. The family was on point. They took a really cute family photo together. If you guys haven't seen it, I believe it's on Instagram or Twitter, whatever you guys can find it on. But it was super, super, super fun. It looks super fun. If you want to watch the I Am Kate, it does go on Monday, March 6th at 9 p.m. Only on E. So it's a season 2 premiere. So Sunday, March 6th at 9 p.m. Only on E. So if you guys want to get on that, I would. The next story, you know, I still have to do with the Kardashians, but it has to do with Khloe Kardashian and her reaction to the People versus the O.J. Simpson thing that's going on right now. And Khloe seems to be the only one that knows how to speak upon her family. And by that, I mean, she's the only one that sticks up for her family when something goes awry. Like, she's the only one that has a voice within her family. Like, no one else will say anything back to the media if they say something bad about their family. Like, Courtney has literally done everything she can to, you know, be the head of, like, the talk of the family, like, for the family. And I think, you know what, Khloe, good job. Good job. But anyways, she says that the People versus the O.J. Simpson isn't a must-see TV on the I'm talking about the American Crime Story, sorry, on TV. It's a TV show on CBS. She was on CBS, the late night show on Tuesday with host Jimmy Corden. And they were talking about the show because it has to do with Robert Kardashian Sr., which is the Kardashians' real biological father that passed away when they were really little. And he was actually on the legal team for O.J. Simpson. So, you know, that the show has to do with a lot of part of with the Kardashian and the kids and the family and how they grew up and stuff. Khloe says she hasn't watched it fully, but Kim Kardashian has, she said, watched every episode. She raves about it. She loves it. But not all the facts are really accurate, she says. She says not all the scenes they talk about are really accurate. One of the scenes which really caught me off guard, I didn't know about, was she says when O.J. Simpson was contemplating suicide, it was in my room and not Kim's. So there's just some facts they say that are on there. They're not mad about it, but there's just some facts on there that aren't as accurate as they should be. She says that they're kind of centralizing the Kardashian name, but she has to bring, I guess what they're trying to do is bring a younger audience in. She says, I'm not upset about it, but there were some scenes of the children chanting Kardashian when my dad was reading the potential suicide note. I even called Kim because I was 10, and I was like, did that really happen? I didn't know anything was happening. And she goes, absolutely not. That did not happen. So as I said before, Khloe's not mad about anything. She doesn't think the show's bad. She hasn't personally watched it. But she thinks that there's some scenes in there that aren't really accurate, that they're portraying to be as accurate as they're not. But I personally haven't seen the show. But after, you know, watching this, I kind of want to watch it because I like the Kardashians, to be honest. I'm not going to front. I ain't going to lie. The Kardashians are really pretty and I like them. So moving on to another story I got for you guys. Oh, this one's so good. Kanye West slams Taylor Swift's music producer Bob Ezrin in his latest rant. Okay, after reading this story, I would never want to critique Kanye West ever. Just don't critique Kanye West when it comes to his music. He's super into himself. Just leave him alone. Let him do his thing. So Bob Ezrin, which is the music producer for Taylor Swift, he's kind of feeling Kanye's wrath if you haven't seen on Twitter. Bob Ezrin critiqued Kanye West's new album, The Life of Pablo. I don't understand how this man can just say this kind of stuff to Kanye West. He says that people shouldn't like Kanye West's music because he doesn't know what the, you know, blank blank does he know about rap. Like he said, what the blank does he know about rap? You can't say that to Kanye West. Kanye West has so many albums, so many awards. He's a great rapper. You can't just go out and say that just because you're a music producer that Kanye West's music is horrible. Like, no, you can't just do it. So the famous artist Kanye West didn't like what Ezrin said. So he contemplated a little bit of work that he did with people, and he says he wasn't quite at the level of Kendrick Lamar, Macklemore, Tupac, or Jay-Z. Ezrin also criticized Kanye's skills in the field of production, saying he isn't at Timberland's level. None of this obviously sat well with Kanye. He said that Kanye's... this story, man. He said that I'm tired of old people that have no connection with anything trying to comment on music. Do something relevant. Do not speak on me, bro, ever again. Never mind the fact that Ezrin has been in the music industry for over 40 years. You know, you have to say he has worked with a lot of rock stars like Kiss, Alice Cooper, Pink Floyd, Fish, and Peter Gabriel. Kanye tweeted a couple hours later, bro, you said Macklemore was more importantly musically than me. No offense to Macklemore. He's a nice human being. But, you know, he didn't stop there. Kanye then involved Ezrin's children, which I think kind of crossed the line. You shouldn't ever involve anyone's children, no matter what it has to do with. But the last time Kanye brought up his kids in a Twitter rant, you know, was over the Amber Rose thing. But he says, your kids are ashamed of their dad. Sorry for speaking about kids, but you could imagine if you were Bob Ezrin's kids, he mused. I'm so sorry for them. I will send them free Yeezys to make up for the embarrassment that you have caused your family. Honestly, I can't say that's such a bad thing because at least they'll be getting free shoes. I mean, hey, some Yeezys, you know. But let's be honest, this couldn't be... Kanye wasn't taking a jab at Taylor Swift. You know, I feel like he did that a long time ago. But, you know, he did bring down Taylor Swift in the process of talking about Bob Ezrin. I don't think he meant to do that. I think he was just in the moment and everything. But he did talk about, he goes, I made Dark Fantasy and The Watchstone in 1 year and wasn't nominated for either. And you know who has 2 albums of the year, he tweeted. And then Kanye West tweeted, Ezrin, I truly feel sorry for your friends and family that they have had to suffer an idiot like you for so long, for so many years. Now they're just arguing back and forth. If you want to see more of the story, it is on Twitter, but it's a funny story to read about and to like get the reactions of Kanye West, because you can just imagine how mad he is if someone's critiquing him. All right, so I'm going to switch gears and go to a different story. If you guys haven't heard of Lip Sync Battle, it's on Spike. I don't like this show at all. I know a lot of people like it, and I'm going to talk about it because a lot of people like it. I personally don't like it. I don't understand. You're gonna watch a show for what is it, like an hour long about people, stars lip singing. Like if I watch a show and you're gonna be singing and dancing, I want this to be like a performance. I want you to be singing, I want you to be dressed nice, I want you to be dancing. I get they're having fun, but it's like I can only watch this for like 15 minutes and then my attention span just gonna like it's gonna turn off and I'm gonna switch to something else. Like, but anyways, they had a good lip sync battle with, I forgot who the female actress was, but it was, Channing Tatum was one of the people on there with someone else, and she was doing a dance in the lip sync, like, gig to Pony. If you guys know the song, Pony, yeah, jump on it. Okay, that song. And I really like that song. And, like, she did a great, 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 great impression. So I guess that's what the lip sync is doing. It's a, like, impression of them. I don't like lip singing. I don't know. If you're gonna sing, you might as well just sing it. But it's okay. So anyways, there was a episode with Gigi Hadid and Tyler Posey, and they were doing a lip sync battle against each other, larger than life performance. It was really, 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 really good. LL Cool J was there. A lot of other stars. The Backstreet Boys were there. Nick Carter and AJ McLean. They were there. They also crashed the performance, and they performed with Tyler Posey and them. It was just something really, really big. It's on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. on Spike. So if you guys want to watch it, I hear it's a really good show. I've watched it. Like I said, I personally don't like it. If you like watching people lip sync, you go right on ahead and you do that. Oh, my next story is about Amanda Bynes. I talked about her on my last show. Like, you don't hear anything about Amanda Bynes. I loved Amanda Bynes growing up. Like, when I was little on Nickelodeon, she had the Amanda Show. I watched that with my mom. And if my mom's listening, Mom, you know we watched that show all together every afternoon when it was on. But, you know, she hasn't been in the spotlight at all. She hasn't been really doing much. She is going to FITM. She's registered in school. So I guess she's focusing more on her school than her career now, which I think is a great thing. But she did post, like, a rare social media post on Twitter. It was just, you know, a picture of her. She looked great, but her hair was a little shorter. She cut it. It was bleached. But she did, you know, surprise all her fans on Twitter. She posted the selfie, as I said. I guess it caught a lot of attention with her new haircut, her new style. Because, you know, but I'm not going to lie. Amanda, you were a little bit crazy a couple years ago. You were in a hole. You needed to get out of that hole. You kept being in the hole. I was like, when is she going to get out? You tried. It didn't work. You tried again. Didn't work. You tried again. And then it worked. So you know what? I'm so happy. Good job. Because you from Hairspray, she's the man, to the Amanda Show, like, literally made my life. Hairspray, definitely. But she says that she's just keeping herself busy, trying to keep focused and healthy. And she's in a much better place, and she looks great. And I cannot agree more. You look great. As I said, she's in FITM. Hopefully, we're going to see some. I hope we're going to see some. Maybe Amanda Bynes, some Bynes clothing line. Glasses, makeup, something going on. Yeah, I want to see something on the runway, you know. But it's her first return back to school since last fall. But you know, like I said, I can't wait to see some of her designs if she has some stuff coming out. I think it's gonna be really good. So I'm gonna go to another break. Stay tuned though, because my next thing is about Kylie Jenner, how she pays tribute to her grandparents with a brand new tattoo. Yes, I said tattoo, Jenner and Kylie all in the same sentence. Stay tuned.
Heard he wanna lay it down on Iggy Iggy, gave it to him twice. Now he wanna three mic Gibby Diva, but I need a bad boy. Rest in peace, Whitney, pardon me, but I don't think none of these bitches with me. Why them billboard stop running in place? Heels on me saying give me 6 inches of space. Course side, why designer frames cover my face? Now everybody in the game wanna get him a taste. I'm still grand hustle first lady. You pay me, bet he won't go 12 rounds with $1 million baby. I could change your life quick, stop playing with me. And if you ain't talking money, what you saying to me?
And I'm back. This is DJ King, and you're listening to the Hollywood Slang here on Penguin Radio. So before I left, but before I went on my break, I was talking about Kylie Jenner paying tribute to her grandparents for her with a new tattoo. I have to say, the tattoo is super simple. It's complex. It's nice. It's not too much. It's not too little. It honestly looks really good. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm sure she posted it on social media. If not, you can look up the pictures on the internet. I think they're actually on her Twitter or her Instagram. It's on one of those. But she is honoring her parents in her grandparents in a very special way. It's on her. She had one on her forearm, but it wasn't real. It was like a fashion ink art type of thing that she was using. But she has the tattoo is her grandmother's name written in her grandfather's handwriting. Oh, so she did share the pic on Instagram. And she was really close to her grandfather, but he did pass away. But she just wanted to honor them. So she got the tattoo. And it's really cool. It has the name, but it's in red ink. And you don't really see a lot of tattoos nowadays in red ink. Or you just see a lot of color, or you see like the black and gray type of tattoo. But hers is just in red, and it looks super good. If you haven't seen the pics, you should see them. It looks really, really nice. It looks good on her, of course. It's Kylie. Why wouldn't it look nice? But if history repeats itself, which I think it's going to, this won't be the last tattoo we see with Kylie. we won't, this won't be, definitely won't be the last tattoo that we see of Kylie. But I mean, you never know. I don't think it'll be the last one, to be honest. I don't think it will be, because I don't, she's so young, she still has a long life to live. Like, I feel like she's gonna get more tattoos, but yeah, anyways, let's move on. So I'm sorry, I'm still hung up on the Kardashians. There was a picture of Courtney and Scott, and they were together, and they were seen in public together on Kylie's Snapchat, because Kylie's posted, I guess, pictures of them together. And they were talking about, they were just talking, you know, they were at lunch, they were, Kylie was still with them, Kylie was Snapchatting with them. Now this pulls up a bunch of controversy and talking about, oh, are they getting back together? They were seen together. I feel like just because they're seen together, you don't have to say, oh, they're together. Like, no, I just feel like that's just how our society is. If you see something, you have to just talk about it. And I don't think they're going to get back together. I hope they don't get back together. Courtney, I know Courtney's smarter than that. But, I mean, they might do it for the kids, which it's okay because, you know, for the children. But in another way, it's kind of like, why would you want to do that to yourself again? But, hey, it's her choice, so she gets to do what she wants. I just hope you make a good decision, Courtney. Just make a good decision. Kesha. Do you guys know who Kesha is? I'm just kidding. Everybody knows who Kesha is. We, like, grew up with Kesha, if you're, like, my age, if you know who I am. But anyways, Kesha has not been doing music. She hasn't been seen in the media at all. And if it was, it's for her court case that she has, because allegedly her music producer raped her, and now she can't put out music. And there's just big legal battles that are going on with her and her music producer, Dr. Luke. But you know what she's done? She's speaking out about everything. She says, I'm beyond words and gratitude. Thank you is not enough, but it's all I have a million times over and forever. Thank you. The support I have received has left my face swollen from tears. I love you all so much. A statement too large for this format is coming. She posted that to Instagram to admire her legal woes, I guess you can say. Reese Witherspoon and Anne Hathaway and Lena Dunham took to social media to talk about this issue that's been going on. This just swept under the rug, and I'm a male, and I'm still talking about this issue because I feel like it's super important, and society needs to know what's going on when it comes to physical and sexual abuse. I think that's a big issue in today's world, especially with young girls. I have a younger sister. I have cousins that are younger. I have a lot of other family that's younger, and I think these issues need to be talked about, and they don't need to be swept under the rug anymore. Kesha's situation is just one of, you know, as I said, the many examples of how the legal system in our country fails to protect the victims of domestic abuse and sexual violence. The vast majority of those victims are women, and Reese Witherspoon posted about that, and she was saying how our legal system doesn't do what it needs to do in our country, and that sexual and domestic abuse should be put more in the public eye rather than, you know, trying to hide it, and I don't think it needs to be swept under the rug, as I said before. But Reese Witherspoon took to social media, and she did a big post for Kesha. And then she ended up hashtagging it Free Kesha. And once she hashtagged that, everything started to be hashtag freedom for Kesha, hashtag Free Kesha. And you know what? I think it's about time that her case has been heard. And I hope that she gets the recognition that she needs. Do you guys remember her song TikTok? Like, who doesn't remember her song TikTok? Who doesn't remember her song on TikTok on Just Dance? And if you guys are lying, if you guys say no, I know you're lying. You guys all played Just Dance on the Wii. Whether you had a Wii or your family member had a Wii or your friend next door had a Wii, you played Just Dance and you played TikTok to Kesha. So, yeah. Anyways, Kesha, man, I hope everything works out for you. I want to hear some more music from you. I love you as an artist. You are great. But there has been news that her case was turned down, but I guess you'll have to stay tuned to the Hollywood Slang this next week, and hopefully I'll have an update for the story for you if you're really interested. I'll have some extra details to give to you guys for my next show. I'm going to be moving on. Rihanna and Drake. As I said, I told you in the beginning when I opened my show with the song Work by Rihanna and Drake. They actually performed it live at the Britain Awards. And they looked a little bit hot together. I can't lie, on the stage they were dancing, they were grinding, they were getting a little bit a little bit of stuff going on over there. But they look like a perfect match, you guys. They first debuted together in the What's My Name video when Rihanna was like in the gas station and Drake comes behind her. She gets that milk in her hand and he just like whispers up in her ear like, you know, what's my name or whatever he says. And she was just like turns around. Anyways, this is the second time they're going to be in a music video together. It's for Rihanna's work video, as I said. But it was a live performance. If you guys want to see this, it's all online if you want to see it. Sorry. So all the fans, as you can tell, were probably so excited to see this performance. If I was there, I'd be freaking stoked to see this performance. You have no idea. I'm obsessed with this song. My friends, my family will tell you. I play this song all the time in my car, in my room, wherever I am, through my headphones. I'll play this song all day. I really enjoy the song, but they were a performance they had at the Brit Music Awards where, you know, Rihanna was a little bit getting up on Drake and they were getting a little bit touchy-feely grindy. Now there's talk about them, you know, trying to be a couple. But as I said before, everybody, once they see something happen with two celebrities, you're like, oh, they're dating. Oh, they walked out of the bathroom together. They're dating. Like, I guess that's just how everyone's going to be. But I don't think they're dating. I think they would make great friends. They make great music. If you haven't heard the song yet, they make great music together. But, you know, the cherry on top of this performance was definitely when the singers went in for a hug after the song ended. And before you could see it, like the video, if you watch online, before you see them hug and they get really close, you could see like there's an innocent kiss coming, but the cameras shut off just before you're able to see that, which keeps you like wanting more. But you know what? Riri's performances come less. The only thing I have to say, I love Rihanna, but Riri's performances come less than 2 weeks after she canceled, you know, the 2016 Grammy performance that she had. And I don't know if I believe her. I don't want to say that she wouldn't do that to her fans and everything. But, you know, she was supposed to perform at the Grammys, but she didn't because she was sick. And she said based on her examination that she was not able to rehearse because she was at risk of hemorrhaging her vocal cords. She was on antibiotics for 3 days. It did not kill the infection. And so she couldn't perform safely. But then she performed this one, like I said, 2 weeks later. So, you know, maybe she felt better. And she was able to perform. So, you know what? Good for you. At least Britain got some of you. But anyways, she released her album. The Anti album's out. So if you guys don't have the Anti album, I definitely do. I would definitely recommend it. Her songs are very deep. They're really good. But she is going on tour for her new, like I said, her Anti album that just came out. Her tour kicks off March 12th in Jackson, Florida. In North America, she will be on tour with Travis Scott, The Weeknd, and Big Sean, and they will be joining her in Europe. So if you want to find out more, you can go to Rihanna's website. She has it has all the dates, all the times. I don't even know if there's tickets still, but if you want tickets, hopefully there's some tickets available for you. But yeah, go look at it. It's supposed to be pretty cool. The next story. All right, the next story that I'm supposed to be covering right now has to do with what is Hollywood is saying the two hottest brothers to be in Hollywood. Now, I saw the pictures. I don't know if you would say the hottest brothers in Hollywood, but people are starting to say they are getting, you know, bigger than the Hemsworth bros. I don't know about that, but they are the new Canela brothers, you know. Giancarlo Canela is one of the older brothers. He was on a NBC's Telenovia, and he plays Javier, Eva Longoria's ex-husband. He also starred in The Passion, which was a Jesus Christ live musical. But yeah, he's a singer and a songwriter, and he's one of the Hollywood's hottest brothers right now, I guess. But he, you know, honestly, he is taking Hollywood by storm. I have to give him that. His other brother, Jason, is an actor also. And so the brothers act, they sing together. They actually did a really, really, really good cover to Hotline Bling in Spanish. And if you haven't heard it yet, I really recommend that you hear it. I listened to it I saw a brief little video of it. From what I heard and what I saw, it was good. but I didn't get to listen to all of it, but I will listen to all of it. But yeah, go to Canela Brothers and type in Hotline Bling wherever on your engine search or on internet. But yeah, look it up. It is an awesome cover, and it's in Spanish, so I mean, if you can't speak Spanish, just listen to it still, because it's nice. But yeah. Anyways, moving on, I'm going to be talking now about Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian's new house. Rob Kardashian has not been in the news and media in forever. And this whole Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian thing has me, like, second-guessing my life, basically. Like, Tyga and Kylie, Amber Rose and Scott, Blac Chyna and Rob. Something is really fishy here. And find out your first scoop here on Hollywood Slang on Penguin Radio. I'm going to be taking a quick short break, but stay tuned if you want to hear this hot gossip. Back, I'm DJ King. Sorry, I had to take a quick break real quick, but I'm back and I'm ready to talk about this Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian moving in together. Yes, I did just say moving in together. When I first read the story, I came upon it, my mouth dropped to the ground. I cannot lie. I was not expecting this to happen. I thought it was a joke. I didn't think they were really dating, to be honest. I am totally freaked out about this whole issue. I was telling my roommate earlier that I can't believe this is happening. I thought it was fake, and I honestly really want Nina, I want you to come in. I do. I want you to come in so we can talk about some issues together. Because I know she got a big, you guys, she got a big opinion on things. So anyways, it's Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian. The moving in plans are together. Rob Kardashian has finally got his house, bachelor pad. It's in the gaming community, same as his sisters and his mom and everyone. 4,256 square feet, $2.285 million house. So, you know, he's turning that into a sweet little home. Not anymore a bachelor pad. Now he's with Blac Chyna, obviously. But, you know, Chyna has been helping Rob with the house. She's pretty much living there, I would say, and she's up and running it. His house looks really nice. If you haven't seen it, there's pictures online. His house looks nice. I just can't get over this thing with Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna. But Rob is making a room for Chyna's child, which is, you know, ex-Tyga and Kylie Jenner's new bae. Believe it or not, the family is this family is just borrowing exes and just sending them off to the other family members, I feel like. Oh my god. But you know, they said they're excited to move in together. I'm not gonna diss on them. I feel like I wish nothing from the best if it's true. Rob Kardashian seems like a nice guy. Blac Chyna, you girl, on the other hand, you I don't know about you yet. You and Amber Rose, you guys hit me in a different place that I don't know about. Anyways, I hope this is real and everything. But one thing I didn't like that Rob Kardashian said, he said, when the blank, which is the blank I'm talking about, is something I can't say on the air. When the blank good, but your family don't like her, so you drop your family and become an orphan. He put that on a caption of an image he posted on Instagram. I don't know if that was the smartest choice, Rob. I think you should have thought about that. You should have gave it some time. Yeah, that wasn't a good move on your part. Yeah, that wasn't a good move on your part, Rob. And then meanwhile, Khloé posted a post reaching out to her brother saying, it's simple, I miss you. She tweeted that along with a black and white photo of them when they were younger, posting a selfie together. And it's really sad to see that their family's not together. Even though Rob has been the one that's been outcasted, I feel like he's been pushed out of the family a little bit more. He hasn't been really in the media as much as his sisters have. They did kind of push him out, I feel like. So for him to leave now, I don't feel like it's a big deal, because he was younger when the show first aired. So I feel like then he had to be a face. But now he has his own choice. He can do what he wants. He's an adult. So you know what? Good for you, Rob. You do you. The next story I have is with Siri. Yo, I don't like Siri. I'll be honest. I don't like Siri. I love my iPhone. I don't like Siri. I will ask her, where's the nearest grocery store? And she'll say, I found you the nearest McDonald's. Like, no, I don't, a grocery store, Siri, not McDonald's. Or, oh, what was I doing? I was trying to get somewhere, and I put in the address, and then I was like, oh, this isn't working. So then I just tried using her, you know, when you can hold the home button, and I said something, and she definitely said something that was totally different. I put, I'll say Jordan, and she says Korea, Korean for my name, and I'm like, Siri, Jordan. She's like, Korean? I'm like, Jordan. And she's like, Korean. I'm like, no, that's not right. So then I just stopped, using her, because I'm like, you're not helping me. I can find something faster. But anyways, Siri is coming to all Macs. If you don't have a Mac, you're going to get Siri. If you don't like Siri like me, you're not happy about this. I'm happy about it, though, because I hope this Siri is smarter than mine on my phone. But she's literally going to be everywhere now. She's chilling on your iPhone. She's hanging out inside your Apple TV. She's now going to be taking over your Mac. She's probably on your iPad, your iTouch. Whatever you have, the voice that's going to be coming out of that is Siri. So are you curious? I'm honestly curious about how this is going to work. So apparently Siri is going to be located in a menu bar and will use voice commands like it does on your other devices. Those features are colorful sound waves, so it indicates that she's listening to you and asks where the nearest KFC is located. This is not right, because when I used Siri and asked her like when the nearest food place was, she gave me a totally different thing. So I want to know, I want to get like someone in here. Maybe I'll get someone in here to talk about Apple. Maybe I'll get someone from Apple to talk to us about Siri. But I just want to know, the more you talk to Siri, does she get smarter and then she ends up hearing what you want, what you're actually saying? Because like I use Siri, my mom will use Siri, and I'll use my Siri and ask the same thing my mom asks, and my Siri will come up with something really funky and just not okay. And my mom's Siri will be like, oh, da 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 da, all perfect and nice and it exactly what she wanted. I'm just like, are you serious? We got the same phone, the same lady hopefully on our phone, but I think yours is just a little smarter than mine. So I really want to know that. Any Apple people listening, maybe, I don't know, you can give me a little heads up, some direction. Anyone else know the answer to this? If you use your Siri more, does she get smarter? Maybe not. I don't know. I really want to know. But, you know, this is supposed to be super cool for all the Mac users. I have a Mac, so I'm super stoked for this. I want to see how it's going to work when I can ask her questions on my laptop. So, you know, I'm pretty excited. Got a couple more stories to cover with you guys. Got a little bit more time left. Next story I'm going to talk about is Netflix. Everyone watches Netflix. Everyone knows Netflix. My cousin Paige, if you're listening, I still have to give you my Netflix login. Don't think I forgot. I will give it to you. I'll probably text you after the show with my Netflix information. Anyways, Netflix knows how long you browse titles before giving up completely. Yes, I said it. Netflix knows the titles you browse and how long it takes you to give up before if you don't find anything. So, talk about Gone in 60 Seconds, right? That was a Nicolas Cage reference, if anyone got that. So Netflix knows exactly how long it will take users to find a movie or a TV show before, and if they don't find one, how long it will take them to give up and then just shut it down and move on to something else like a video game or basic cable, or, you know, maybe a book. You know, maybe some people still, I know my grandpa reads all the time. He loves to read. My man can read a dictionary in like a week. Anyways, so Netflix is basically discovered that the average user would take about 10 to 20 titles or about 1 to 2 scenes, and if they don't find what they're looking for, they'll just stop using it. So Netflix has come out to say that the user either finds something of interest or the risk of the user abandoning our service is increasing substantially. Obviously, you know, the research was geared towards the people who browse and flip through Netflix categories and recommendations on a regular basis, instead of those who cycle between, you know, they're just rewatching their same shows that are on their list, not the recommended that Netflix recommends for you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the list you make after the shows you watch. I'm talking about when you're looking through Netflix and it'll say recommendations and then it'll say this, and that's what Netflix is recommending to you. So, they thought that they create a better system for recommending titles for users and that they'll actually watch just stuff that's recommended, and it'll be like a quicker process for them, so they're not taking so long to find like a movie or something. So the personalized recommendation thing that they offer is central to the Netflix experience, they're saying. They're saying it's helping you find great shows and movies to watch quickly and easily for you that Netflix thinks that you'll like. So the next time you guys want to fire up your Netflix and you want to watch either what? Supernatural or Orange is the New Black or whatever you guys watch on there, American Dad, whatever. you should cruise through your recommendations and, you know, you should just try it out. Just try it out. After all, you know, Netflix conducted this scientific study, they said, to try and please us, the audience. So, you know, when was the last time you honestly read a book? I don't read books a lot unless it's for school. But if you don't want to read a book, you want to go through Netflix and you don't know what to watch, please cycle through your recommendation. I highly recommend it. I did, honestly. I found the show. You should try it too. All right. So my last story I'm covering today. Yeah, I know. My last story. This went by so fast. So my last story I'm going to be covering is is Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato. I hope my cousins are listening. I know my roommate's listening. We all grew up in the same era. Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato are both touring with Jonas Brothers, which means, guys, it is a 2009 Disney era again. These kids watching Disney Channel nowadays will never know how 2009 Disney Channel was for us. We had the best Disney Channel. So Selena Gomez recently just announced that the DNCE, which is Dance, which is the opening act for her new big revival tour, is actually Joe Jonas's band that's opening for her. So it's kind of like a little Disney Channel reunion. Isn't that nice? But you can't forget, Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas are touring together this summer as well, and they're calling their tour The Future Now, which, you know, it's another little Disney Channel reunion. Wait, guys, there's more. Demi Lovato, Nick Jonas, Joe Jonas, Selena Gomez, two of the biggest Disney alums, well, two-thirds of the Jonas Brothers, because, you know, Kevin's out there doing something. It's honestly truly like a miracle, guys. 2009, all over again, the peninsula of freaking... That peninsula is like an island. That's wrong. AKA the pinnacle of Disney Channel. You guys, Camp Rock, Wizards of Waverly Place, Camp Rock 2, Sunny with a Chance, like the Camp Rock Twilight crossover, you know, the fan fiction thingy. They're still working on that, hopefully. Hopefully you guys are still working on that. But, you know, Camp Rock, all that, Wizards of Waverly Place, seeing them all together is, you know, it's reading this thing took me back to like when I was younger, like back in 2009 when they were talking about Camp Rock and all that. I watched all that with my cousins. We would sing the songs, the sing-along times, you know, when they have like the show recorded, be like the sing-along shows, and you could like have the words down there. I know they did that for High School Musical, right? I'm not going to try a front. I watch Disney Channel. I like the show. I don't watch it no more, but I did. I'm not trying to say that this new little tour thing that they're all doing is supposed to be replacing the Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club. No, that was the 2008, 2010 era. You know, we're not saying that that's bad. Like, we're not saying, no, that's not good. This is better. We're just saying, you know, that was back then. You know, that stuff was gold back in the day, I guess. But, you know, our new Disney Channel is good. Now, you know, all we need, finger crossed, that Miley Cyrus will announce that she's doing a tour or something, you know, with Kevin Jonas. And, hey, actually, guys, Miley Cyrus is opening for Kevin, and they're doing a duos, and they come together at the end of the summer for one giant performance called Send It On. So, all this is happening so fast. I just can't believe that they're all touring together. Honestly, they should do a tour like this, like a Disney Channel, like, revival tour, or Disney Channel something. They have to put Mickey's name or something like that. Mickey's back in town or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. But I would pay money to see that. I would go to that concert. But, oh, God, this is bringing back such good memories, but I have no more time to talk about things. Thank you for everyone who's listened. I hope you enjoyed my show. I hope I didn't bore you guys. But, again, I'm on every Wednesday from 4 to 5. This is the Hollywood Slang. I'm DJ King, and you're listening to this on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So have a great day.